Good morning, hello, and welcome. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. You know, I was thinking about this as on the way in. I'm going to talk in the second hour here from an email. And so it kind of changed directions for me a little bit today. Because we need to talk about the market really as often as we can, about how it works, why it works, and how it just simply works over time, and other choices of, you know, trying to time the market or stay out or I'm really worried are just simply irrational fear. And they are really irrational. You know, doing things because you're comfortable doesn't make those things right. You know, it's more comfortable to, like, stay on the couch and not actually move. It's more comfortable to, I guess, get an unemployment check than to go to work, as an example. It doesn't make it comfortable. That's not the idea. The market works even though you're uncomfortable. And we kind of have to get over it, right? So I want to talk a little bit about that. But right now I want to talk about what is just huge and really important to this economy. And a message that we really continue to have to get out. Everybody's having a hard time finding employees. And that's not just a thing. Now remember, we had that thing prior to the pandemic where we had record low unemployment. Record low. Record high job increases for the lowest job increases, wage increases for the lowest income 25%. Fantastic growth. Really something. And now we can't find workers. People are holding job fairs, lotteries, paying people to just come for a job interview. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. And now, I believe it's 21 states now have signed up. 40% of the country have said no. No more. No more extra federal benefits for workers. Because if you've ever done the math, and thank goodness the Wall Street Journal has, or economists have, and they're reporting it. Because you have to go to a source like the Wall Street Journal, because the main press won't cover anything like this, because it looks like the Biden administration policies are, like, really stupid, unbelievable stupid. And they are. Paying people to stay at home after a pandemic is done is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We clearly, immorally, don't care about our grandchildren. Just spend it. Just keep spending their future away. It's not this magic thing. You just go, oh, okay, well, it's okay. It's the new monetary theory that it's okay to spend money you don't have because it'll all just magically work. It's a burden on your descendants. We need this discussion, don't we? I mean, it's like, who wakes up and goes, I can't wait to hurt my kids? Who does that? I really hope the world is really crappy for my grandchildren. I just want my stuff now. I don't even know people like that. But this is what government does. And then we don't even talk about it. It's nuts. But anyway, here, let me come back to this. So, payroll numbers come out on Friday. And they're really disappointing, again. I mean, it's a big number. It's 500,000 plus jobs. But we're coming out of a pandemic. It ought to be a million jobs. A million a month. Easy. But it's not. And yet a record number of jobs are available. I mean, a record number of jobs are available. A record number. But one of the things that's really super positive here is that, again, 40% of the country has stopped enhanced benefits. Here's what enhanced benefits are. They are the equivalent in 19 states, the equivalent of a $100,000 salary for a family of four. Two non-working, two unemployed people, two children, with all the new freebies for childcare and all that. And of course, even if you don't have childcare, you get the credit. Isn't that smart? It's just genius. It's genius. Sending $100,000. And by the way, do you know that unemployment benefits are tax-free? So if you go to work and you make $80,000 a year, not that bad. You have to pay taxes. But if you stay at home and don't work, the benefit is it's tax-free. And they just ship money to you. I'm lost. I don't know why the unemployment, it's hard to find work. I just can't figure it out. It's just hard to imagine why that might have consequences. But according to Joe's crew, it doesn't. They don't really think that's what it is. Now, they haven't told us what they thought it was. That's not what it is. It's not bad policy causing people to stay at home. But here's the thing. Here's the thing we miss. Bad policy, yes. Horrible. These people are unbelievable, okay, in how bad they are. And that part of it keeps people sidelined. Because they miss through all of their, I just think my head is going to explode with the stupidity of what's going on. This can't work. True. That's true. And we miss that, though, with the fact that coming out of the pandemic, the world is busting out. And even Joe and company can't wreck that. We don't have enough workers, but we're still going to keep growing. Are our supply chains going to get fixed as quickly as they should? No, they won't. They won't. Is growth going to be far slower than it should be? Yeah, it will be. It will be. Is healthcare getting wrecked even more than it ever was? More rapidly disintegrating? Of course. And they're doing nothing about it. Well, they're accelerating it. They're accelerating it. Instead of facing any kind of reckoning that Obamacare has become unbelievable expensive, we're just going to subsidize it and pretend that nobody's paying for it, except for those that are working and paying for it, and those employers that are paying for it for their employees. Other than that, it's working great. And they're doing nothing. In spite of all this bad policy and lack of doing anything of any intelligence or trying to fix any problem that exists, or even acknowledging it's a problem. We feel that. But the economy is opening up and booming. And don't miss that. In all of our angst and gnashing of teeth of all the stuff that's wrong in the world, we get caught up in it. And we don't realize that there are bigger forces out there. The economy in general opening up. People going and doing things is big, bigger than really stupid people. And I don't know if they're stupid, but what they want is government to take over everything and dictate your life. Here, you are a fan, you're not, you like us, you don't. And dictate who gets what. How much money comes out to people. As long as I have power. No more upward mobility. It's a very, very frightening thought about our future. What progressives have. But they're not going to win. And I think that's what people miss. The average person is beginning to understand that, I mean, seriously, even if you're a leftist, you know, you really do know. You may deny it if you're in the administration because you have to politically. You may deny it in the 21 states. Do you know there's not one Democrat state, not one, that is cutting the extra $300 a week in benefits? Not one. They're all Republican states. It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, the only people that are trying to bring back the workforce are Republicans. It's weird. It's just weird. It's like, well, I can't do this because I'm a Democrat. I know what I should be doing, but I can't do it because I'm a Democrat. And I can't. I can't report it. But they are. It's getting out. The average person knows that these are bad policies. Bad policies. They know that healthcare is ruined, wrecked. It's a disaster. It's horrible. And we have to do something about it, but they're not doing anything about it. So these things are not going to stay the same. And in the meantime, with the economy booming, we got to get our jaw off the floor. Just like, stop it. Stop whining and crying. Go fight the good fight. But you've got to be moving forward, and we've got to be investing. Got to. All right, I got to take a quick break. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Let's go ahead and jump on our phones. It's, by the way, our number, 580-KIDO. Hello, Bob. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Oh, my pleasure. I enjoy your show, and you're right to the point. But one thing that they're not talking about that I have been focused on for some years, and that's productivity. Even if you don't hire more people, you can dramatically increase productivity, which gives you a lot more output. You know, this zooms up. You say we can't keep up with the orders, but we can. And I did this with the companies before, and I supply a product for nuclear power plants and also for SpaceX. But the typical problem is, you know, they protect their environments and say we can't allow more productivity. In fact, it became so productive. One company I worked for long years ago was they said they lay me off. Became even more productive. But that's a problem we can solve right away. And the device I invented, I still sell, and they tried to copy it out of China, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't reverse engineer it. So they sent me an email and asked me to tell them what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't do that. But it's also used also in our military.
Yep.
And the private industry. But what you're saying is exactly right. They've got to increase their productivity. You can take the same number of employees and dramatically increase your productivity. But the trouble is overcoming the front offices. Mm-hmm. You got to do that. If you do that, you got it made. I've done that already, but to quite an extent. I've sold over 200,000 of my test instruments, but I've done other things too. I just got a patent on a power generator called a resonant frequency power generator. You're familiar with Tesla, right?
Yes, sir.
Well,
yep. I got 10 seconds, Bob. Hurry.
Okay. Well, I'll just put it this way. I got a patent on it here in February.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a resonant frequency power generator. And if we produce these and sell them around the world, we're going to, dramatically increase our income of our country by selling these.
Good. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. And have a great day. Thank you for your call. And you can hear the music. We are getting ready for hour number two in Fox News at the top of the hour. Yes, productivity. We are going to have to increase productivity. Obviously, we have been for decades. We do everything better. Technology takes care of most all of our problems. It really does. It's really amazing. But right now, we've got a productivity problem in human beings. We are paying them to stay at home. And this is slowing down our recovery. It really is. All right, in the next hour, we are going to be talking about, of course, why you ought to be in the market. But a little different twist, I think. I think you'll like it. All right, hopefully you'll stick around. Hour number two is upcoming. Fox News is next. Our number, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. These, of course, are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station, a broker-dealer, or anything else. And we're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. I don't know your circumstances, and I may say fondly that Apple has gone up 28-fold since inventing the iPhone does not mean you should own it. In fact, all of that is just silly and dumb. It isn't entertaining. It isn't thoughtful. It's not anything but a ginormous waste of time. Things change in a heartbeat, and suddenly we go from a buy to a sell. Did you get a phone call and make that change? Well, when we say to buy something and then really don't track it that much and it doesn't work out, do they then trim it later, or should we just hang on to it forever? Do we mean buy no matter what, like forever? Do we ever admit we're wrong? No. So all it does is it attracts this noisy attention to something that should be bringing us great peace. The amazing abundance we have in our life is like truly amazing. It really is. We just like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, like, I never thought I'd be this rich. Yeah, that's great. It's groovy. It's okay. But I don't have as much as that guy. Right? I mean, it's like your teenage daughter walking around going, but she's prettier than me. I can't really get a boy. They're prettier than me. It's the same thing. It's the same thought process. We try to teach our children that's not to see it that way. Not to compare everything to somebody else. And yet we do that, right? We don't just kind of go, this thing works. This is amazing. We feel like we have to get rich quicker. Quicker. There must be a better way. I don't know about stocks. I don't know about that getting rich slowly. You know, a cup of coffee a day, that's fine. That's fine for other people, Dave. I get it. You know, a cup of coffee a day for 40 years is $1.1 million. In that really hard to get into S&P 500. That's what it is. $150 a month for the last 40 years is $1.1 million. Yeah, that's really hard to do. Super hard. I mean, look at all the work you had to put in. Working for all the companies in the S&P 500? Nope, not allowed to do a thing for them. Don't do a thing. $5 a day. That's all it takes. But that's not good enough. We need to get into these meme stocks. You know, we need to jump on GameStop and stuff like that. That's what we need to do. And all the noise that we hear makes us think that, doesn't it? It makes us think like that. The more we entertain that it's some kind of a game. And I get it. I get it. It's fun to watch your stocks go up. But when you watch them too close, you think too much about what's wrong with Apple and why the new iPhone isn't going to sell like it did before. You don't get 28 baggers. What's a 28 bagger? 28 times what you put in. That's a lot. That's like really a lot. And that's what Apple's done since the iPhone came out. Not since they were born. Not since you got it right at the bottom, right before Jobs came back and saved the company at 10 cents a share. No. After they were in your face with a world-changing device. But how many times did people say, Samsung's better? This one's better. The iPhone, this really doesn't have enough improvements. Who's going to pay $1,000 for the phone? When are companies like AT&T and Verizon going to stop subsidizing these ridiculously priced phones? When is that going to happen? And when it does,
these guys, nobody's going to buy these phones for that kind of dough. How many times? Was it 10, 20, 50, 100? Every single quarter, there's a reason why Apple really won't make that much money next time. So if you trade it, you don't have 28 times. If you own it, you have a 28 bagger just with Apple. What about Google? They don't really make anything or do anything, right? The list of whys and doubts just goes on and on and on. And so anyway, so this was terrific here. Great. Isn't that fun when you malfunction your phone right at the perfect moment? I will read the email later. I don't know what I did. I truly don't know why it went away. So, Brett, if you are listening, and I hope you are, would you please resend? I have no idea what happened. It's literally gone. Please resend your awesome email. Thank you. All right, I'll look for it at the break because obviously I can't do that and actually talk with you. What I will say is this, and then I'll get into the email the rest of the program. Basically, Brett sent this amazing email that again reiterates how the last 10 years have been to his personal portfolio. Stunning. And when we think about having these kind of multiples of growth, and we think about all the reasons you shouldn't be investing, and there are dozens of them. Really, there's dozens of them every year. But as John Lennon says, I'm going to paraphrase, well, what he says is, life is what happens while you are busy making other plans. Okay, that's pretty good. I think that's pretty good. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put a little spin on that. Returns are what happens while you fuss over things you can't control. You just grind on it. Biden's so stupid. The administration's so bad. And they are. They're terrible. These policies are just off the rails. And then we go, we're losing our freedom. They're shutting it down. Facebook's decided that President Trump can't be on Facebook anymore. But a terrorist can. That's really, there's no bias in that at all. It doesn't make any sense. So we get caught up in politics. We get caught up in all of those things. And what happens is we fuss about all of those things. And they may, some are even true. And we don't make the returns. We sit around and figure out why it won't work, why TARP won't work, why QE, quantitative easing 1, 2, 3, and 4 won't work, and they're going to cause hyperinflation. And then when we take them away, then it'll happen. I'll tell you it'll happen. And we write and we read and we go online and we grind and grind and grind and grind as to why this won't work. I figured out another person that agrees with me that we're all going to die and we shouldn't be investing. And so it goes on and on and on and on. And when we think about how many scary times in the past 10 years, it's huge. It's an enormous amount of scary times. An enormous amount of scary times. It just continues to drive us crazy. And in the meantime, while we fuss about it, the market keeps rolling. Do you know how many people are trapped outside the market because they just can't get in now, right? They just can't. They haven't been able to get in since, well, prior to the election, because the election was too scary. That was a good reason to get out, right? And I'll say, with all honesty, I thought it was a good time to be a little bit cautious, and this is where we get into trouble. Do you get into trouble because you make a big stance? It's like, no, I'm just going to stand to the sidelines. Okay, so you're basically sold out. Mm-hmm, absolutely. But I'm getting back in. I'm not trying to time the market. That's not it. I just think it's wise to be out right now. Okay, well, that would kind of be market timing, the definition of it, but that's okay. I'm just going to be cautious. And then what happens, or what you're worried about, happens. Biden wins. Oh, no. That's and then you hear the people talking, and the market doesn't actually go down. I'm not sure. Oh, I see why now. They told me why. Because don't worry, the Senate won't go. And so it'll actually be okay because, you know, it'll be all right. Because then they can balance each other out. And Biden's really kind of a moderate anyway. You know, he's just really moderate. He's just old. He hid in the basement. He can't think very well. So nothing much will happen. That's good, right? That's what they're telling me. So that's all right. Oh, no, Georgia went. Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. Oh, I can't get in now. That's terrible. And then, you know, the market just keeps rolling. And where are you? Sitting in cash. And now you can't get in now. And we deal with this every single day. And we do. Every single day. No, really. What do you think's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. No, come on, Dave. I mean, what do you think's going to happen in the market? What? I mean, come on. I mean, what isn't that what I pay you for? It's to, you know, predict the future? I mean, I know you can't, I mean, but you know what I mean. And people still look. It's like, I understand you can't predict, but I still want you to predict. And it's best when we come to understand the simplicity of we can't predict. That's okay. Things work anyway. You don't have to guess what the market's going to do next week. You really don't. And so just literally in this last little while, we have trillions of dollars that are earning nothing. Trillions. And actually, until Joe discovered that a trillion is just a name of something, right? A trillion's a lot. We have trillions in individual accounts, earning nothing. Oh, well, I like to hold cash. You know, back to that whole point. I like cash. It makes me feel good. Okay. But it's very, 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 very expensive. Very, very expensive. Did you know that? Well, we don't do the math, right? If I could have earned 7% every time, that $100,000 I'm sitting on would cost me another $100,000. That doesn't make me feel comfortable at all. I'd like to have that additional $100,000. And 7% is well below what the market's done. We can't just sit around. And then what it does is it actually literally grinds on people. They sit and fuss about it. You know, it's not a little thing that our saying at our office is educating our clients for the past 40 years to give them financial peace. Peace with their money. Peace with their money. This is not an accident. It's not, we give them peace because we zig and zag and we get the market right most all of the time. No, we don't. We begin to help people understand and not fuss over things that you can't control. Best that human beings can. I mean, a lot of bad stuff happened over 40 years while you put a cup of coffee away a day, $5 a day, and it's over $1 million without ever increasing it. Yeah, that's not really hard to do. And you do have peace when you just kind of do that. When you live within your means. When you don't try to get rich quickly. You just let it happen over time. When you find a reasonable, if you will, comfort in what you have instead of always playing the comparison game with everybody. I'm not really as rich as billionaires. I hate billionaires. Don't you hate billionaires? Hate them. Hate them. Take their money away. That'll make me better. It's weird. It's weird that we do this, and then we pretend to be really smart because we get online and find a bunch of people that have a whole bunch of conspiracy theories that are way out there, like way out there. Like, this President Trump's about to ride back in on a white horse and save the day because all the elections are going to be overturned. Oh, but, I mean, it's just like unbelievable stuff. And it seems to be getting worse. All of these, the conspiracy theories in the market are unbelievable. No, don't you think after this is going to happen? I mean, believe me, I've done this for over 40 years now. I think I've heard it all from blood moons. Seriously, people getting out of the market because there were three blood moons in a year. I am not joking. How many different end of the world signs, even as Jesus tells us, you won't know when it's coming. How many times have people done that? How many people have said it's going to end here? And for decades, this just goes on and on. Hyperinflation is going to send gold prices to $5,000 an ounce. Get out now. It just goes on and on and on in the conspiracy theory. And people get online and they read more and more and more about it, about people that already agree with them. And so they get really experts at what they already know. What they already believe. I'm really an expert at what I already believe, not an expert at opening my mind to the possibility I'm wrong, to the possibility there are other avenues of thought. And it keeps us out of the market. And it works so well. Believe it or not, if you put money in on like the worst day in the last 12 years, like the beginning of 2008, right? I mean, this is the beginning, and this is the beginning of it all, right? Lehman Brothers files for bankruptcy, right? We get the most anti-business president probably in history, except maybe Joe Biden, I don't know. QE1, 2, flash crashes. Meredith Whitney predicts the muni bond problems. And then they took QE away because, remember, it was all about the Fed. It wasn't real. I remember all the phone calls and all, right? North Korea gets a bomb. Ebola, I remember Jim Cramer putting his head on his, on the desk and just going, nothing can get better until we solve Ebola. It's just nothing. The market can go up. Of course, that marked the bottom. It just goes on and on and on and on, right? We all the worries. And then we have the big presidential election, right? And Trump is elected. Unbelievable. The whole world's going to end it. Well, it doesn't. And the market zooms. And then unbelievable. Joe Biden's elected. And the market zooms. If you put in $10,000 at the worst time possible, right before the Great Recession, 50% drawdown in the market. 50. 50. You've got 30,000, actually more than that, today, just in the S&P 500. Not Google or Amazon, the S&P 500. You've tripled your money by buying at the wrong time, and yet we argue today about whether the market is too high. Like we always have, we can't seem to learn. But keep reading, keep digging, because the internet will show you all kinds of really good reasons why you should stay out. We overthink things so bad. All right. And I'm over time so bad. We got to take a break. And I want to hear from you. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petzofinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And, of course, if you prefer email, assuming I won't magically erase it, it's dave@petzofinancial.net. All right, and let's go ahead and go to the phones here because I went so long on the monologue here. I'm going to have to get some of these commercials in. Terry, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I tell you what, my investment advisor, you, has me so relaxed about my investments, I forgot to check and see if I had anything left this week.
The good news is you do. There is a couple nickels left, yeah. It was, you know, hey, it was Erica's birthday on Friday, so we knew you would want to get her something. So
yeah, I just want to make sure I'm buying Charlotte some new shoes whenever she needs them. You
exactly,
know,
exactly, exactly. Well, good, good. Yes, I'm glad you are relaxed, and it is a real, it's really a key thing, isn't it? I mean, it's something that people get very worked up about, and trying to figure out the future is one of the things we get worried about with our money, for sure.
Well, the long sad story that I've got is I've got money planned out or set aside well enough that I'm subsidizing my grandson's graduation from basic training, and his next duty assignment is going to be in San Antonio with no family support for his wife, so I get to set her up in an apartment.
Very
and
nice.
Take care of expenses while they're getting officially assigned there or officially assigned someplace else. There's money there to take care of stuff like that out of the blackness of my heart, I think. No, whatever. You know.
I think that's awesome. That's wonderful, but I think you're really missing it. She really just needs to get unemployed and then unemployed.
Well, yeah, darn it. She was offered a pharmacy job for the Walmart, and she says, no, I like being a homebody more. I think I'm just going to make a good home here for my soldier.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for her. Good for her.
Yep. I did have a question, though, that, again, watching news, and I know I'm not supposed to, but during the employment jobs reports, whatever, the talking heads keep saying in one breath, the jobs created. In the next line, they're talking about people hired.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is it, and which one do we even need to look that closely or care about it?
Generally, it's about more about expectations, right, than the actual numbers, okay? Because these numbers are very high, but they should be higher coming off of a pandemic, right?
Right.
And it is because it clearly is because people are paid more to stay at home. You know, now, people can, the Biden administration can deny it, but it is not deniable that we are seeing wage increases, hours worked increase by a lot for those that are working, and what you're asking about is the job openings, right? So
right.
We have a record number of job openings, meaning we at Petso Financial are screaming to find fill in the blank, and we can't find people that are qualified that want to apply.
Sorry, sir, I'm happily retired, not coming down.
Exactly, but you can see why. I mean, we, as you happen to know, we have a phenomenal group of people there, and so that's not really a real problem for us. But it is very, very difficult for many people in many industries. You think about how hard it is to find somebody to do X at your house. It's very hard to do. You know, I talked to an 80-year-old lady yesterday. Hey, happy birthday, Kathy. 80 years old yesterday, right? And she was like, I don't know what to do with this house. I don't know what in the world. It's such a big house, and it takes so much, right? And I want to be down south in the winter. I can't take care of it. So you have money. Hire somebody, right? Isn't that what you do? She can't find somebody, right? So she does have them lined up for next year, but she can't get anybody at all this year. So
that's another sideline of this unemployment thing, that people are taking the money and run.
Yeah.
But a lot of them have also said, government, what? I'm going to go do a side hustle off the books.
Yep.
And take their money too, and be that much better off.
Exactly, and that's what I wish would happen. But what happens too is when people don't work and are given things, how does that work with their soul? Do they yep. think, now I can't wait to go back to work, or do they get used to not working?
Right, we go back to Benjamin Franklin saying we should make them uncomfortable in their poverty.
Yes, right, and that's and when we don't. Then how do we raise people up?
Yep.
It's not a question of being mean. It's a question of being mean by enabling people to not improve their lives.
Hunger just has a way of focusing the attention.
Yeah, right. It's a very sad, but the difference there really that you're asking about is the jobs available are collectively a record number of job openings. This business, that business, on and on. We're looking for a server here. We're looking for anybody who could become a teller here. We're looking for anybody who could be a salesperson over here. Every business is struggling to find qualified people, and they're sitting at home with the government paying them more money to stay there. That's the difference.
Yeah, well, all we can do is carry on.
Well, we can, and here's what's happening in 21 states.
Yeah.
21 states have said no more. And so we're starting to see that in the numbers. We are going to see that economically in those states as well. So it is, again, we're seeing these experiments. Why is Illinois lose people every year? And then, yep. And then they go and they raise taxes and regulations even higher. It's ridiculous. Why is New York losing a congressman? California losing a congressman?
There was an article out on, I think it was Spin Quark, that said California lost $9 billion worth of revenue from people moving out.
Correct. It's an enormous. The Wall Street Journal every few years does an actual, breaks down all the numbers. And it is billions and billions and billions of annual tax revenue lost as they tax the rich to leave. Get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. And they keep raising taxes, and sure enough, they eventually do leave. And businesses leave because regulations.
Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis are just happy as clams about that. So
they're doing well. They are. All right, Terry, thanks for your call.
Thank you, sir. Have a good week.
Have a good week yourself. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We have to break now for Fox News. And when we come back, please do ring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. And again, thank you for joining us. I hope you're having a wonderful and planning a wonderful weekend. You know, it is. I wanted to tell you, I found it, right? I found the email, right? I finally was able to locate in the trash. I did manage to lose it. And we've covered a lot of it, but I did want to read it to you because this is a real life story. And I think it's really great to share those stories. And obviously, I'm not going to give the person's full name. But it's a story that basically most everybody has. It's this very similar story. We sometimes don't stop and recognize how much abundance there really is in our lives. How much we have, and how easy it is being born in America to accumulate what was once thought to be great wealth, uniquely great wealth. And so Brett sends along this email. Dear Dave, I have tracked my retirement investments for many years. This morning, I took a historical look and was surprised by what I saw. At the end of 2010, my investments totaled $278,000. Now, for ease of following along here, I'm just going to call it $250,000 because that's easier to know. And we'll give you all the numbers here in a moment. At the end of 2010. And then I looked at the end of 2020. I had contributed another $187,000 to my retirement fund. And at the end of 2020, my investments totaled over $1.2 million. My investments are and have always been 95 to 100% equity mutual funds and ETFs. A few of the years between 2010 and 2020 were quite frightening. Real train wrecks where I saw the value of my portfolios plunge. But the number of shares I held always increased. I stayed the course, and the results are pretty nice. Thanks for carrying the torch. Respectfully, Brett. Brett, thank you for sending that. I appreciate your thoughts a lot. I really do. I like it when we talk about real stories, not imaginary stories. And I think it's an important thing to go back and look. You know, I have had the privilege of doing this for 40 years. And studying it, right? I mean, I'm immersed in it. I'm immersed in the daily blah, 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 as well as meeting great people like John Templeton, some of the great money managers, Jean-Marie Evillard, and spending time with them and thinking about what they write reading all their things, thinking about them, reading their books. And knowing the history of the market. And why is that important? Why is it important to know that 1934 was the best market year and that it was up over 50%? That's just an irrelevant tidbit. No, it's not. Can you imagine living in that time, coming off of the Great Depression? There's just no hope. And yet the market has its best year. So that's what they do. And so when things are really, really bad, and you understand history, you understand that that's like a coiled spring ready to explode. You know it. It's like when you're able to know in 2009, as the market is going down hundreds of points in the morning and flying higher in the afternoon and vice versa the next day. It's insane. Insanely difficult that it's preparing for its inevitable climb to all-time highs. You see, there is never any final all-time high. The market doesn't set records that takes decades to break. The next record is right around the next corner. But instead, we fuss and stew about these little downturns. And so why is it important to look at your returns or what you had in 2010? And then seeing what you have now. Because it's the perspective you have are now able to carry forward when the next inevitable to occur over and over again, all the days of our lives, market corrections occur. You don't wonder what you ought to be doing. Should I sell? Is it going to get worse? Oh my gosh, I think I need to go look on the computer again and feel really bad again. You can ignore it and know it's going to be okay. And I know a lot of folks out there are in retirement, nearing retirement, and are always making this statement. Yeah, but I don't have a long time. I can't wait for it to come back. I don't have a job or won't for very much longer. That's why the comment in there about the number of shares was so perfect, right? As Brett said, but the number of shares I held always increased. Or let's say you're not reinvesting now, you're taking the income from your portfolio. The number of shares didn't decrease. The dividends didn't decrease. Sure, there's the odd period of time where all the financial companies in 08 have to reduce their dividends. Sure, during the pandemic for a quarter or two, a number of companies like cruise lines and airlines had to stop paying dividends. But collectively, it isn't long that they're back at record levels again. You're not required to sell out. And of course, income management is a little different. But when we always say that, what is it doing? It's creating us, it's making us fuss over things we have no control over. And it makes us invest incorrectly because we worry, we're fearful. We're driven to one of those equity indexed annuities or other really bad products that won't work. We're driven into gold because that's what's in my safe, said the B-movie actor. Yeah, I want to know what's in an actor's safe. Because, yeah, not a financial guy. I want to know what the actor has. Weird, but that's what's in our face all the time. When we come to an understanding and we look at the history of our own portfolios, of our own time in the market, of how we felt at those periods, that's what history is great about, isn't it? What would it feel like? What did it feel like in the Great Depression? What did it feel like in looking at the numbers? What did it feel like to watch Sputnik go over top? All of those things. It helps whenever we go through these periods. This is a time of really a lot of angst, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. We are very divided. But Wall Street's not. It's not. It's divided opinions. There always are. But when the Wall Street is telling you that the economy is good, it's not because the politicians or the media are, you know, making a story up. It's not false news. It's real economic growth. And if you've been wrong because you're lying in fear all the time, you have to sometimes just stop and quit reading deeper into the internet of why you're really right. Darn it! I'm gonna be right. I hope this world ends soon, so you can finally be right. We have to sometimes just admit it. We're wrong. We're wrong. And this works. This most certainly is not a unique story. It's just well said. And it's one of many, many stories, millions of stories. And sometimes we just aren't content. And we need to be. My goodness gracious. How great can my life be? How much greater could it be? How about you? And you and you and you. Aren't we? Don't we have it like amazing? Isn't it unreal? Isn't this more than you ever thought you would have? But how do we feel when we get online and watch the news and fuss over things we can't control? It makes us angry and doubt everything. It's not healthy grinding our guts up, is it? It sure isn't any fun. Hey, I'm just like you. Sometimes I just need to look in the mirror and go, what the heck's the matter with you? Why are you angry? Why do you feel that way? You know, it's we all do. It's human nature, and it's also the time we're in. We're supposed to be pissed off at each other. If we're not, then what is social media good for? Right? I mean, how do they make money if we're not just like tweeting each other? Angry. If the internet can't scare you, how can they sell ads for gold? Huh? How are they going to get you to the dinner seminar to sell you, pimp you an annuity? How are they going to do it? They're not going to do it. It's like, oh, this, because things are good. No, they're scaring you. Oh, I don't want to be in a Wall Street casino. No, I don't want to get rich there. No, give me something that makes sure I can't win. Fear. We fuss. And it wrecks our ability to invest. All right, Brett, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And any of you have a little story like that, you go back. Please, I'd love to share it. It's nothing personal. Just want to share the stories. It's encouraging for people that, you know, this really is something you can win at. It's like super easy. It's so easy. Sometimes I go, wow, this is so easy. How can we make this so, how do we make this so hard? It's so unbelievable. All right. Our number is 580-KIDO. Final segment upcoming. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and coming down the final stretch here. If you have any comments or questions, shoot those over to us at petsofinancial.com. Also available there, okay? We've got podcasts. We've got articles and calculators to help you with your own financial planning as well. We also, I really want to direct people as well, if you're looking for information, one historic thing that I think you're really going to like about the market, really, to me, it puts it in context. It really came from a Zoom meeting we did for our clients not long ago when the Dow hit 30,000. Okay? And that's what it's called, Dow 30,000. I hope you can will check that out on YouTube. And if you like it, there's others there as well. But that's one, I guess, kind of with today's program I wanted to hit on. It give you a little bit of history. And it, you know what it is? It's my walk in the last 40 years. But guess what? It is for lots of people. It's their walk, too. And if you're younger than that, you need to see it anyway. Why? Because that's history, and that's how we learn. This stuff works, and it works well. Mike writes, real quick here, hello, Dave. What do you think about the G7 agreeing to the idea of a 15% minimum corporate tax? Seems like it will drive more companies to countries like Ireland. Mike, thank you. And by the way, Mike, we were just talking about you last night. Funny deal. Did not make it down there to see that Malad Gorge disappear or Malad River disappear down that way. Anyway, we're going to get there. But anyway, thanks for the email. And I want to tell you this as we're running out of time. This is just the same as in the United States of America. We think that tax policy doesn't matter. It matters a ton. If you're in New York or New Jersey and you've now moved to Florida, why do you think Florida is growing? Why do you think that? Why do you think that all of these states with lower taxes and lower regulations are growing? You know, they're growing because people are invited there, not penalized to go there. So what do I think on a global basis? I think that's exactly what's going to happen. We are going to see more and more and more companies unfortunately moving. Donald Trump was right. You treat them well, you reduce taxes, they come here. Thanks again for tuning in. We appreciate you very much. And if you have any comments, questions, one more time, that's at petsofinancial.com. I hope you all have a great weekend. Thank you again for the email, Mike. We'll talk to you live next week.